Well, hello, church. My name is Matthew Comegna. This is Jimmy. And we were speaking today. And so Jimmy's going to go first. And before that he speaks, we just wanted to publicly pray over one another. So I'm going to pray over Jimmy. Dear Lord, pray for Jimmy. Pray for his words. I pray that you use him as a vessel of your will and your words. Lord, you tell us in James that tongue cannot be tamed by man, Lord. We pray that you tame Jimmy's tongue, that the words he says honor you, and that the words of eternal life flow through Jimmy today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right. Like Matthew said, my name is Jimmy, and I've been at Harpeth Hills. This is my second year at Harpeth Hills, and man, I love it here. So I'm excited. I'm excited. Let's give God some praises, guys. Man, just God is so good. And this week, like, the title is There's No Substitute. And most of you guys know that I'm a soccer player. So it's like whenever I think of there's no substitute, I think of a game where we play and we don't have subs, you know? And for I know some of you guys might not know a lot about soccer, so I'm gonna teach you guys a little bit, you know? Soccer is like, there's 45 minutes half, so it's like 90 minutes, 90 plus minutes plus the adding time. So it's like a lot of minutes to just run around, you know, in the sun sometimes, just running around, chasing the ball, so it can be tiring, you know? And with our subs, it can be even worse. So, when they told us the title is There's No Substitute, I was just thinking, like, I had this game and we had no subs and just, we had to rely on coach's game plan. You know, we had to rely on coach's game plan because coach didn't want us to get tired. Coach knew it was going to be a tough game. It was going to be a hard one. But he was like, just trust me and rely on my game plan and everything will be fine. No, we'll do great. And so it's like the same things in life. You know, in life, life might be hard sometimes. You might want to give up. You might feel like, oh man, I don't want to keep doing this. You know, I'm doing this for no reason. Like there's no point in this. But God is like, I have a game plan for you. You know, I have life plan for you. You know, and just trust me. So let's turn to John 6:67. Colton, you there? All right. John 6:67 says, Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will you also go away? Before John 6 ends, there's a sad verse that says, From that time on, many of his disciples that went back and walked no more with him. And that's what led to John 6:67 when Jesus asked his disciples, Will you also go away? You know, in life, we find ourselves following Jesus for the wrong reason. Half of my life, like, till I was 12, till I got, like, all my life, like, I followed Jesus because of the stories that I've heard of the things that he could do for me. You know, I've heard that Jesus was a miracle worker, which he is, you know. And I wanted to follow him because I wanted him to bless me. I wanted him to help me have a good life. And so, as Matthew and I were studying for this week, you know, Pastor Jason encouraged us to read the whole book of John. And I was like, oh, no, man, I don't want to read. Because I hate reading, you know, especially in English, because it's hard, you know. but reading it, you know, reading it helped me see things in a whole, like, things that I've never seen before, you know. But we have to go back a little bit and understand who are those many disciples that followed Jesus were, you know, and why did they follow Jesus? You will see, like, in life, those people who start being Christians do so because they approach Christianity in a wrong way, you know. My life, like I said, like, I followed Jesus because of my parents were Christians, first of all, you know. I followed Jesus because of that. I grew up in a church, you know, it was easy to just follow him, you know. But for me, I'm gonna be real with you guys. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. You guys are my family, so I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I see Christianity, for me, Christianity is not, I don't see it as a religion no more. Like, I used to see it as a religion. It made me just focus on doing the things that, like, just do good to get in heaven, you know, those kind of things. But I came to see it as a relationship, you know, a relationship with Jesus. And that's how that has helped me a lot with my walk with him. And it's like, one of my friends named Bobby, he told me, like, if you have a best friend, raise your hand. If you have a best friend. So a lot of you have a best friend. And they're best friends because you guys spend time with each other, you know? You guys are close because you guys spend time with each other. And Bobby was like, so how you think your relationship with Jesus is going to grow if you don't spend time with him, you know? Relationships grow when you guys spend time with each other. And you will find out that a lot of people follow Jesus because of what he can do for them. And that was including me, you know? And so let's go back to scripture. The many disciples can be traced back in the earlier parts of John 6. In John 6, verse 2, it says, And a great multitude followed him because they saw miracles which he did on them that were diseased. You know, so they were following Jesus because of the things that he was doing, you know? But if you study John, like I said, you find out that Jesus is a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. And for that, a lot of people followed him. And no doubt, like, many of those many disciples that followed him because of the things he was doing. And also, I want to tell you guys this. A Christian life, a life with Jesus, Jesus is not always going to, like, Jesus, let me say this first. Jesus wants you guys to have a great life here, you know? Jesus wants you to be happy. Jesus wants you to have all these things. But Jesus is not, Jesus also wants you to focus on the things that is to come, the things that is above. And so, like, nothing in this world will last. Nothing in this world will last. So you don't focus on the temporary things that Jesus can do for you. Don't follow Jesus on the because of the temporary things that he can do for you. As we go on, we find the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. After that miracle, he went away from the people. And when he went away from the people, all the people again, like, followed him, and they found him. And Jesus said in verse 26, it says, Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill." So I wanted to ask you guys a question this morning. Why do you follow Jesus? Are you like me? You follow Jesus because he can satisfy you. He can satisfy your needs in this world because he can do it. Jesus is able to do it. You know, my parents escaped a war in Congo and moved to Rwanda. And there they were in a refugee camp, and that's where I was born. I was born in a refugee camp, and I want, like, living in a refugee camp can be tough. It can be hard because, like, you don't have enough resources. You don't have enough water. You don't have enough food. But, like, one thing that I learned from there is you gotta rely on God. Because there was a lot of things that happened down there. And the only choice you had was to rely on God. And last night I was praying for tonight, for today. And that, you know, that God will speak through me and Matthew. You know, that people will get something out of it today. And God reminded me of this song that we sing in church, in Africa church. And it says, "I've tested everything in this world. I've walked everywhere, you know, but nothing, there's nothing that can compare to who God is. There's nothing that can compare to all the things that God can do for you." I want you, before I invite Matthew to speak, I want you to be thinking of, why do you follow Jesus? You know, truly, truly, like, think about it. And so before I let Matthew speak, I want to encourage you guys to follow Jesus, not because of what the temporary things that he can do for you, but because he's the only hope for your life. And so, no, I'm not looking for what he can do for me here. No, nothing in this world will last. But the things that will last is him, you know. And I want to have that life with him once this world ends. Matthew. I'm praying over Matthew before you speak. Dear God, I just thank you so much for my brother Matthew, Lord. And God, I just pray that you speak through him, Jesus. God, anything that he says will be from you, Jesus. And God, I bless him. I bless everything that he does. I bless his family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hello, church. Yeah, I was expecting that completely. I've always wanted to do that. but thank you, Jimmy. Thank you for your words. They're powerful. Well, obviously, today we're tasked with going through John 6 through 8, and so we've kind of found a focus on verses 60 through 69, and so reading this week, preparing, like Jimmy said, and read all of John, went through 6 in the different translations, and so decided I'll do my best Jason Pagel and Ruel Shelley impression and look at the Greek of this scripture. And so in verse 67, where he says, "You do not want to leave too," Jesus asked the 12, and Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Looking at that verb that means to go right there. So the Greek word is perikamai, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. So there's a few definitions. First standard definition is just to go away. But a lot of times in this Greek, I personally studied Latin when I was in school, but there's a lot of verbs that have this extra added action to the end of it. And so there's a secondary definition that says to go away in order to follow anyone, go after him, to follow his party, follow him as leader. So it just brings up the question is, to whom else can we go? Who else can we follow in this world? And I stand here to tell you that among my generation, there's a lot of whats. There's a lot of whoms. There's a lot of things that we can go to. And so by myself, I ask my question, when it gets rough, where do we go? So first, I want to look at the scripture based on this, kind of like Jimmy said, talking about feeding the loaves. In John 6, we see the feeding of the 5,000. God giving, turning in 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes to this group of 5,000 people and having 12 basketfuls left. But as Jimmy said in verse 66, it says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. These people saw the feeding of 5,000. They were sustained and given food by a miracle, and they turned around when things got either, when they got inconvenient, when they got a little crazy, when Jesus wasn't saying the things that they quite wanted to hear, even after seeing him feed 5,000 people. So I have this in my notes. It says, it's really convenient while Jesus is performing miracles to follow him, but it's hard when it's at a point of controversy. It's hard to follow Jesus when it's controversial. And today, in our world, at times, it is controversial to follow Jesus. But I encourage you, stick with it. It is life-giving. So, kind of as voice of the youth, representation of the youth, I kind of want to talk about the what's that my generation likes to turn to. Just going to be completely honest with you, it's not pretty. It's hard at times to not fall into the patterns of this world. In my generation alone, from 13 to 18-year-olds, we spend anywhere between 7 and 9 hours consuming media each and every single day. That's a lot of time where we are not singing the words of the Lord, and we are being inundated by the ways of this world. We are the most consumed with idols. I mean, I've only lived 18 years ever, in my opinion, but there is so much that distracts us. we turn, in my generation, we turn to alcohol, marijuana, and just putting it out there bluntly. Like, I've seen my friends turn to these things where it gives them a quick happiness, a quick joy, a quick escape. And then there's also sex industries are running rampant. Quick pleasure, quick way to change our brain makeup, but we are turning to these things that are not of this world because we don't see, sometimes, it's hard to follow Jesus, and it's easy to find these quick escapes. But as Jimmy said, you have to ask our question, the same question from 67. Why do I follow Jesus in a world where there's quick pleasures, there's quick escapes? Why am I choosing to forgo that, continually follow Jesus? So if you don't mind, I'm going to read a little bit because this came to me in a moment. This is my testimony. So it said, so why Jesus? Why do we choose Jesus in a world against him? Why do we choose Jesus when the devil is at his strongest? Why do we choose Jesus when it is the hardest? Testimonially, I choose Jesus because of the answered prayers. I choose Jesus because of his deliverance. I choose Jesus because historically, there was a man who was put on a cross and was killed. His tomb was empty. His brother put his doubt behind him and led the church in the most persecuted city in the world. A man and his friends endured pain and torment because of what they saw. And 11 of the 12 died as a result of this. I choose Jesus because he is. I kind of want to clue in on that last phrase of he is for a second. You flip along with me to John 8:58. And now we're tasked with 6 through 8. It's kind of a lot, so skipping around a little bit. It says, very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. I think it's kind of powerful reading this I am statement that Jesus was before Abraham and that he's been there, he was during creation. But I think there's power that you put the phrase I am in the present tense as we look at it in the third person. Jesus is. He is. He's watching over your day. He is forming newborn babies in their mother's womb. He is continually working in right now. Not gonna lie, I'm a senior in high school. Kind of have a strong case of senioritis right now. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Miss Locke. But God gives us motivation. He is continually giving motivation. He is the rock in which I lean on, and I encourage you that he may be the rock that you lean on too. So as I was preparing for this, I was really focusing kind of on the negatives, kind of dogging on my generation a little bit, but as I stand up here with Jimmy and I, as Campbell and Sydney spoke earlier, there is a lot of life coming out of generation. I just wanted to proclaim that to you, that this youth group, we are on fire for the Lord. We are searching that out. Yes, yes. And so there was a lot of focus on the first part of 68. It says, to Lord, Lord, to whom shall we go? The next phrase says, you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. In this chapter alone, John 6, Jesus fed the 5,000. He also walked on water. We are serving a Lord who is not restricted to the ways of this world. Simple, the rules of buoyancy. I mean, walking on water is pretty cool. I mean, I'm kind of a physics nerd, so that's also really appealing to me. But, sorry, Jim. But as I say this, I'm going to encourage you this week to surround yourselves with the words of eternal life. I've kind of taken this, it's a challenge for me. This entire year, when I'm in my car, when I'm listening to music by myself, I have not listened to any secular music this entire year. I've fully committed to listening to just worship music this entire year because I think it's really powerful that you fill your life with the words of eternal life at any point. Hearing the Lord speak to you in a worship song at 7:30 in the morning as you're driving to school, sometimes you may not get anything out of it, but there may be a random Tuesday morning where I walk into school with a little pep in my step because the Lord has told me that because the words of those songs told me that the Lord is still working and that he loves me. So I just encourage you, please find the words of eternal life throughout your week. Whether that be reading or singing, I just pray and I challenge you, as Jimmy said, to go and seek that out. So that kind of leaves you with two challenges this week. Both coming out of verse 68. Ask yourself, why do you believe in Jesus? Why do you choose him in this world? And also, please find your ways to fill yourselves with the words of eternal life. Kind of have right here in my section of my notes, it just says, let God work. So, trying to listen right now to what he's trying to say, but kind of went fast because I was nervous, but guess that's what happens. But as I'm going to conclude, I'm going to invite the praise team to come back up here. We'll clear the stools for you in a second. But there's a song, a worship song, that it's kind of been part of my morning routines, filling myself with the words of eternal life. It's called The Stand. We're singing in second service, but pre-chorus says, so what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, O God, completely to you. So just pray over y'all. So you're answering this question, why do I choose Jesus? Just realize there is no substitutes. There's no other options. The Lord is here for you. I'm going to pray over your home before we finish with worship. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity just to be up here and speak to my church family. Lord, I pray as people leave this room that you commission them to see you in their daily lives. I pray that the words that I spoke today reflect you and are worthy of you, and I pray if anything I say did not honor you falls on deaf ears. I pray that you continue to hold me strong and accountable as I search you throughout the week. Pray that you keep this youth group on fire, and I pray that you let our fire spread to other people. Lord, I pray that you continue to fill the people in this room. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.